Pastor Hart and Dominic Steele, and thanks for joining us. And we're talking getting people back to church. There are some churches that haven't restarted post the COVID shutdowns. Either health department regulations won't allow it, or you can't restart viably with the proper social distancing. Too many people, or the building's too small. But for those of us church leaders where our congregations have restarted physically, well, there are some new people, and there are some members that are back, but some who need to stay home for a long time because they're highly immunocompromised, and then there are some who could be back but aren't back. Now, our guest on the Pastor's Heart today is Anthony Barraclough, and he's been with us before. He's the senior pastor of St. Matthew's, West Pymble in Sydney, and he has done lots of thinking in this space. In fact, he's researched and published on The Pen is a Few Sheep Short, The Patterns and Reasons for Modern Church Attendance by Committed Christians. Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mate, our hearts are hurting for all those people who have missed church 24 weeks and counting.
Mm. And that's got to be a good thing, that your heart, my heart, others is hurting, because that's the shepherd in us. I think if people could, our people could hear that, they'd be delighted to hear that we bleed for their engagement with God in these very hard times.
Now, when we say 24 weeks and counting, of course, for many people, it's been lots of engagement online. Mm. But actually, there are many people who it has been more than 24 weeks since they've met physically with the people of God.
And then the Barna Group in the States did some study, and I think it's probably applicable in Australia. During the pure online phase, a third of members who were at church before COVID did not engage during COVID. So even in pure online, it was still pretty hard for our people to engage.
And we're facing risky times in that that third could go permanently missing, we're starting to hear.
Yeah, and that's the deep concern. And so the question, I guess, we've got to wrestle with as pastors is, what can we do now? Certainly, what can we do when we're back to care for these people? But what can we do now?
Yeah, of course, we're thinking Luke 15. We're going to have to be out looking for that lost sheep. But let's do a bit more analysis. Before we talk about some of the solutions, let's do a little bit more analysis of the problem. Let's start with your church. What's going on in your church experiences? You've looked, how long have you been back, and what's
Since the beginning of August. And I said to the staff on the Monday staff meeting, which was the end of August, we've only been back for a month. They went, what? It felt like 3 years or something to them. So we've been back, I call it hybrid, so online and live.
Which are doing the two at the same time. That's great.
Yeah. Yes, we think it's necessary. We think it's at the start of COVID, I said, we're not going to do that. Now I think we have to keep doing that.
Yeah, I think it's the clear thing we've got to do, because the virus levels are going to go up and down in the community. The anxiety levels are going to go up and down in the community.
That's right. One of the things I'm thinking about is the online at the moment is kind of like a catch room or a congregation for the congregation that haven't returned. But we need to transition it into the front room, the front door for the first people to find contact. Mm. No longer will it be the website. Well, it might move from the website to online watching of church, and then, but the fear is that it'll become the back door, and that's what we're really concerned about as well.
Now, you and I, we've both been doing fluoro check-in and had some really good data about how things have gone with people coming back. What's your sense of your...
Well, in our place, it's mixed, depending upon which congregation. The oldies, the 8 o'clock, 8:30 congregation, they're really keen to come back, but they've hit 50%-ish, and they're the at-risk group. Mm. The young families are struggling in our congregation. We split that into two so that we've got enough. We made more services so that we've got enough space for everyone who was coming prior to COVID, and yet we've got plenty of empty space. Mm. And then our evening services, we've just had a major outreach and push, and so it was couldn't find enough spare seats, which was wonderful. So it's a mixed story, and the age group that is finding it the hardest, I think, is the young families.
Mm. Now, that's consistent with some of the feedback we've had on Facebook. I put it out on Facebook that I was interested in getting some of my minister friends to tell us how it's going, so it wasn't just you and
Let's go through it.
Yeah, you've got one from David Clark.
So David says, morning and evening, approximately 50% back. One-third high risk, one-third anxiety, one-third he's unclear why. The high-risk ones are in a mix of risk self to self and due to work. So it's interesting.
Now, Robert Happer has got an interesting story here, quite similar to you, it sounds. 50% of the 8 a.m. service are back, and yet they would fall into the high-risk category, and yet less than a third are attending the second morning service, which, again, the majority would be in the high-risk category. Interesting, though, his number of people at the second morning service is lower than the early morning service.
For us, we've got two morning services, and it's the first one that's struggling, although the first week it was doing brilliantly, and then it's the second one that's doing better. So I can't figure it out.
Mm.
Let me go to Ian Milliken. About 40% of our 8 a.m.ers are back. Only about a third of the young families.
Same issue.
Same as me. And about half of the 6 p.m. service. So, you know, most are hovering around the half kind of level at best.
Prash here says, we averaged 110 adults on a Sunday pre-COVID, now 90. Our early morning filled with at-risk is almost at 90% attendance, whereas mid-morning is about 60 to 70% with a number of at risk and some younger families still staying away. Evening, about 80%.
I think he's doing well.
He is.
I think that's fantastic. Like in a relative sense, that's really good.
Now, I'll tell you what our situation's been, because we've used the check-in details and we've done a careful analysis using the fluoro thing. And 5% of our people have told us they're staying online and are likely to be long-term online. 10% missing in action. 21% in the 10 weeks we've been back since the 5th of July, they've been physically present less than three times, one, two, or three times. And then 64%, I think we're counting them as back. You know.
So that 21%, do you think they're nervous about, oh, maybe I could catch something here, or it's not safe, or do you just think?
Well, it's a mixture, actually. Some people, one lady definitely told me, I came and actually at the beginning, we didn't have things as good as they are now. So first week back, I think it was just a bit too crowded in the foyer. Yeah. Do you know? And we've worked out now how to do the check-ins outside and now, and actually even now having everyone having masks, it makes you feel safer at church.
I think I've been telling our staff that we need to, inspire confidence that we're doing things according to the COVID safe plan, that we are doing everything according to the government regulations and guidelines to give the sense that it's safe. Mm. Church is a safe place to be at.
And actually, it is safe. Now I look around and think, we are so much safer than the cafe I went to for lunch today. In terms of other person-centeredness drives us to love to go the extra mile all the time.
And yet, churches have been places where it's been spread and contaminated. So there's an understandable anxiety. And yet, I mean, we're trying very hard to make sure we're doing everything according to the book and even better.
Mm.
And it's hard because that truncates, you know, chatting with people, truncates all sorts of things. So that's hard.
One of the things we've done is we've pushed people to go deeper with a few rather than shallow with a lot. Mm. And, I mean, when the Premier put that no mingling directive out. And so we're encouraging people to go and get a coffee and then go and sit down and sit in your group. And actually, that's meant people have stayed longer.
Well, we have brought morning tea or supper or whatever into the middle of the service and done the same thing. So that's how we've done that. So because you can't mingle afterwards per se, we have a break in the middle of the service. Churches have done that for a while, but we provide Kit Kats, all that kind of stuff, and we say this is your chance to have that post-church but in the middle. So that's what we've been doing.
Ben's got a comment there.
Yeah. Slowest to return at Narrabeen are the families with children below school age. Similar story. Otherwise, our estimate 70% are back overall. We've added an additional evening service, 20% high risk, health, current treatment or whatever, and 10% or other issues. I think he's doing well there as well. That's great.
Gavin Parsons says, the other temporary issue we observe is the sniffle and symptom group who stay away as asked when they would normally soldier on. Some of this group are more anxious than others. Families are hit harder with kids getting sniffled. Well, now in spring allergy season 2, Our rosters are more fickle because of last-minute symptoms and absences. And, I mean, that's been our experience too. We've had a full band on Wednesday, and it's fallen away to nothing.
And it's really hard to roster, you know. You could plan it, you know, 3 months ahead before. It's really hard. So, pastors, there's a lot of extra pressure on you at the moment just for coping with those sorts of things. So take that into account, of course. Let me carry on. Lauren Risk, I can't remember, can't comment on percentages as I'm not staff. She's married to staff. We've got a handful of high-risk members who are still making church a priority when they're not unwell. Wonderful. Other issues have included...
And actually, we've seen that too, and I'm sure you have. Somebody who chooses to come to church, they're high-risk, they come to church during the first song, and they leave during the last song, but they actually want to be physically with the people of God.
And they're generally older, and they have done this, you know, church physical for generations. Mm. And I had a lady from that service, that age group, say to me as we're shaking elbows, so to speak, at the door, just what would have been morning tea, she said, this right now, this second is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And I think they find that really hard.
Lauren's got an interesting third paragraph there, though. Do you want to just give us
that? We have people who only have been back once or twice since we started meeting at the beginning of July. Some develop regular Sunday commitments, others other than church, when church went online.
And I had a conversation this week with somebody that started playing soccer on Sunday mornings, you know, and just as church vacated the space, they've filled it up with something else.
Yeah, and we asked, I have a story, we asked somebody to do something on a rush. They said, oh, I can't make it this week, I've got another commitment. And so that's when your heart as a pastor bleeds. That's when it's tough.
Michael Jensen, three-fifths back, some high-risk people back over 90s, some very cautious, some coming to Connect Group but not Sundays. We've had the awkward situation now twice of a person coming back and audibly and visibly coughing and spluttering despite all the precautions we put in place. I then have to have an awkward conversation, but it's then too late for some to their mind. Church is unsafe if people are going to be so cavalier. You had that complexity?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. And how do you manage this? How do you say to people? Because our church has also done some protocols, you know. We won't, what you touch, what you don't go into the kitchen. Mm. So people just used to the old systems. And so if this is what they're going to do, if they're going to be cavalier to use that, it makes it hard on others. And so I guess the whole love your neighbour kind of thing kicks back in at that point.
And I think it was harder at the beginning. Whereas now, actually, you've got to do it. You've got to be pretty brutal.
And I think we've tried to be very careful on the being warm and friendly, welcome to church, while you have a face mask on the one hand, and then on the other hand, no, please, under our restrictions, please don't do this. Please be careful here.
Now, Anthony, there's one other area. I just want to play you this little video from Stuart Starr from Oran Park, and he here has identified a potential reason that people aren't coming to church, and get your comment on that.
Sure.
Well, hey, Neil, I wanted to talk to you about church and the concept of the Christian Tim Tam. Now, I don't know if you know what the Christian Tim Tam is. If you've ever done a life group and you've got a packet of Tim Tams out there, everyone's delighted to see the Tim Tams. If you're the person who brings the Tim Tams, fantastic. Keep doing it. It's very important. So the Tim Tams get opened. Everybody, you know, there's a frenzy on the Tim Tams at the start. And then as it gets down and down, it gets to the point where at the end, there's actually only one Tim Tam left. Now, at that point, we have what's called the Christian Tim Tam. No one actually wants to take the last Tim Tam. They don't want to be responsible because they're trying to love everybody else. Well, let me make a connection between that and coming back to church. Some of you might have thought, as you've looked at the number of tickets that we have available for a particular service, oh my goodness, they're almost all used. I know what I'll do. Me and my family, we won't go this week. We'll leave that to someone else. And guys, I guess what we want to say to you is the concept of the Christian Tim Tam and our attendance at church, we just want to see you. And we don't really want to have Tim Tam seats left over at the end of a Sunday where more people could have been in the building with us. Now, I know what you're thinking, there's only 100 seats, and that's okay, because if we fill the building up and we do that week after week, guess what we'll do? I know you can guess. We'll put more services on. So I don't want you to be worried. I'd love you and your family to come and join us at church.
Stuart Starr makes a good point.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a great illustration and it's very, very good. Yeah, you will just add more services, of course.
And yet I had a conversation like that with somebody that they were holding back. And I said, no, we've got room.
Yeah, we've had people the same. And the thing is, they want to come to the service they're used to rather than to where there's room elsewhere. And so we've split, in our case, services so that people can choose one or the other. But we're saying as well, if that's full, go to another one because there's a seat there. Mm. And I think that's where it gets a little bit harder. But I think that's just fantastic, that video.
Now, Jeff Bates has done some analysis and he's pulled it under the reasons people aren't coming under three categories, really helpfully, health, head, mental health, and heart. So I actually do have a health risk. Mm. Either I'm immunocompromised, high risk group. I have anxiety, mental health issues about this, or I've got a problem with my heart. Now, have you identified as you've been thinking about different people in your church?
Well, I think that's a really good breakdown. Instantly, as a pastor, your heart goes or your mind goes towards the people who are slacking off in that sense. But there are people who can't be there and should not be there. And I think the first thing we pastors need to do is just slow down and say there are real reasons for not being back for people. And the mistake we would make is to confuse those categories and give the pastoral correction, if it's that, to the wrong category of person. So,
and yet it is difficult to work out sometimes which category an individual is in.
That's right. So if it's the health, we've got to say, we've got to cut them all the slack. If it's the head.
And actually say, we've got a woman who's undergoing radiotherapy for breast cancer.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want her to come to church at the moment.
Yeah, no, she's at risk. If it's the head, if there's anxiety, and there's a lot of anxiety, we're still in the middle of all of this. It's nowhere near the end. Then I think the pastors needs to be careful not to add to the anxiety. We can be like, the baby's kind of like a little chain above the cot, high up the thing. If we're anxious, it'll just spread it all the way down the system. So we have to make sure that, we don't add to that. But then if it's the heart, we need to minister. And that's what the gospel does. It ministers to people's heart constantly. So delivering gospel truths to people is what we do in all those categories. If their heart is, I'm just loving pajama church, I'm loving wine and cheese church, we want to speak into that with, what did Jesus say? First let me go and bury the dead. No, the cost of discipleship is to follow me. And I think we want to say to people, if you're being slack, that's not discipleship. If you're anxious, well, we don't want to add to that, but we have all our safety protocols. If you're at risk, please, we're not here to make you in trouble. So there's those different pastoral tacks to take for each person.
I feel like I want to drill down further with you on the area of how to have that heart conversation. But before we do that, how does all this tie in with your research?
Thank you. There are always, so pre-COVID, which is where I did some research, there were always people in those categories and other kinds of categories, but those ones, head, health and heart. And it's the heart one that really drove me to do the study because you prepare your sermons, you prepare your messages, you think this would be great for these people and they're not there. And one of the things I observed in the stats is that people have a impression that they're at church more often than they actually are. And I think COVID would only exacerbate that I've been to church because I went once last month. And that's probably quite a good thing if you're in the at-risk category or if you're anxious and there's a big effort to get there. But if you're in the, my heart is, I'm loving coffee church, from coffee at home and pajamas and sort of thing, that's not a good thing at all. And so those categories, I think, existed beforehand. I just think they're probably, any times and excuses that plays to the heart that doesn't want to engage with God, that's a hard thing.
Mm. I was talking to my sons about this, and they were saying, as they thought about the people who had not made it back to church, they were reflecting it was potentially the people who were struggling with their walk with Jesus before COVID, and COVID's just kind of
helped
pushed them away further.
I think that could be true. And then there's people who, if you like, got out of the groove.
Yeah.
Then we have, at our church, we have some quite a lot of young ones for whom the fellowship aspects and the social aspects were a large part of why they came to church anyway. So I didn't mind that because it meant that they gave the word the time to do its work in their hearts. But when that social aspect's gone because you split your service in two, or others who have put it on a roster kind of system, you know, you come every third week, it makes it very, very hard for people. And so what I'm fearing is that the fringe people from your church who you used to be able to attract relatively frequently are probably, you know, an onion layer or two further out than they were pre-COVID. And that's a worry. And so that means you have to adapt and you have to try and bring them in. I think we have to work really hard at being warm. I think those ideas of fellowship, I forget how you put it, but, you know, do you go
deeper
away
with a few, not shallow with a lot? Yeah.
We need more tactics like that. And then we have to think also about how to do online church in a way that's still engaging, but enough to make people go, oh, I could come back. And I haven't put much thought into that and how to achieve that, but I'm sure that that's what we have to do, to say it's still worth checking in. You can still check in with the word and to see that it's being done safely and to see I'm missing out.
One of my tiny little ones on the online church is actually I want to make sure I have a big wide shot of the auditorium so that they can actually see their friends are there and actually think, oh, yeah, there, such and such is there. I'd like to be there with them.
We have the ability, we haven't done it yet, but to do a reverse shot from the front to the congregation. So maybe a shot like that, but, I mean, more technology.
How do you discern whether it's head, health, or heart?
Well, look, I think actually pastors are good at this. You chat with your people, and pastors can work this out. The thing is having the courage to speak into the right one the right way. Especially on the heart one. That's okay. The hard part.
Coach me.
I'm no expert, Dominic, on this. But, look, I think so, you've got to have the conversation. So, Bob, Fred, haven't seen you for a while. How are you going? What's the story? Really, you're not coming because, you just prefer to have a coffee or a wine and cheese or something?
No, I just feel, I haven't actually been out of the house. We've been getting online shopping since it all happened, and I just don't feel comfortable.
So when will you re-engage with the world and with your brothers and sisters in Christ? What will have to change before you're happy to do that again? Because this could go on for a year or more, as we are.
Well, I guess just when it goes down further.
The numbers. And yet it's interesting, isn't it? Australia has the best numbers. But really, I think in
our part of Australia at the moment, 5 yesterday or something. I mean, it's not going to go down much lower.
So it's more anxiety at that level. But look, I'd probably start telling your friend stories about others who've started coming who are in a higher risk category. So don't let fear prevent you when we're working really hard to address the risks. Don't let your heart, you know, melt away or drift away from the Lord. It's interesting, Dominic, in the scriptures there's always exhortations and encouragement to fellowship, to draw near to God, to pray. Those things need to be pushed because the heart wanders. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Isn't that one of the songs? That's our heart. And so we as pastors need to encourage beautifully, sensitively, with scripture to the heart, and then the Spirit will do the work from there. I mean, we can't make people come. We don't want to make people come, but we need to draw them in. And I think once we've addressed, if you like, the health and the functional kind of issues, let's make sure we don't add to the anxiety by being anxious ourselves. Then we let the Word and the Spirit work in people's hearts to say, be exhorted, return. Be exhorted, fellowship.
that there is some sort of spiritual war going on, I think. I think the devil must be telling people it's not safe to go where the word of God is.
You've truncated quite a lot of logic that might be going through people's mind to get to that sentence. It's no surprise that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. So whether people are watching online or in person, we still want the message to be draw near to God.
Mm.
Draw near with faith and with a full heart. And, you know, if I'm into convenience church, I love online. My sister loves working from home because it's so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was just saying at our lunch today, the boss is doing his own calendar because his PA was out picking up the kids. Well, online has had some benefits like that, but if church becomes convenience, well, that's very different to the cost of discipleship that Jesus talked about a long time ago. And I think it's in that moment we want to speak to the heart, both from the pulpit and privately. And probably the easiest way to do it is with stories of others who have their heart on fire, if I can put it like that. And say, so what about, you know, Auntie Joan from the 8 o'clock service who's in the at-risk category, but she wants to fellowship with her brothers and sisters. And I think that might inspire people.
Mm. And she's navigated a way to do it at a risk way that is comfortable for her.
Yeah, and she's got the mask on and she's not singing and she says, I'd rather be singing, but I'm here and, you know, the Lord is with us.
Mm.
And it's beautiful when you see that faith come through like that.
Mm. Anthony, there's financial implications to all of this as well.
Yeah, budgets are under stress because of this, and I think the churches that were not doing well beforehand, if they had a cold before, they've got the flu now, they've got something like COVID, and they're going to really struggle, especially when we get off the government life support. So that's for churches in general. I worry about our young ones that gave only via cash pre-COVID, who are not there, and it's good for your heart to be giving. So I worry about that dimension as well. But I think church is going to struggle, especially after the JobKeeper bit rolls off increasingly in the next months. It's going to be harder. So keep being generous to your church because you're actually giving to God.
Thanks. One last thing. You were telling me your youth group's grown during COVID.
Yes.
Tell us about
that. And other churches, well, pure online was really, really hard, and they were disengaging and Zoom, and they'd been Zooming all through school, and so we found that really hard. But since we've been back, and we've had an outreach, a festival we called it, we had more. We had our biggest attendance from outsiders, youth outsiders, just 2 weeks ago, and it was fabulous. And I don't think we're the only church. I've heard of a couple of others. Mm. Part of my theory is we can be back and there's that fellowship, but also there's nothing else happening on a Friday night, so I think that's a factor. So praise the Lord. He's using this also for his kingdom good.
Anthony Barraclough, thanks for coming in. My guest on The Pastor's Heart, Anthony Barraclough. Anthony, of course, the Senior Minister of St. Matthew's, West Bimble, and All Saints at West Linfield as well. And you've been with us on The Pastor's Heart. We'll look forward to your company next week.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.